Mark chapter 6, I want you to look. And I want you to notice this morning one of the more peculiar statements, I think, in all of Scripture concerning one of the most peculiar men in Scripture. Verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and in holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. John the Baptist, as you all know, was a very powerful and fearless preacher, so fearless, in fact, that he ultimately landed himself in Herod's prison, calling Herod an adulteress and a foolish man. And yet it's while John is in this prison that Herod is drawn to the preaching of John. He's there for days and weeks, for a protracted time, because Herod's actually trying to protect him from what others want to do to him. And it's interesting that every single time he made these periodic visits to John's cell or had John the Baptist called forth, the Bible says that he heard him gladly. Herod heard John gladly. It's even more interesting that the reason that Herod wanted to hear John preach wasn't because it was just entertaining to him or humorous or novel. No, verse 20 says that Herod, quote, feared John because he knew that he was a holy and just man. So again, here is this, the most powerful man in all of Galilee, visiting his Baptist prisoner from time to time, wanting to hear his message about the kingdom of God and his preaching against sin. It's all very strange, and to add to its strangeness, the Bible mentions yet another point. Verse 20 again. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now note this carefully. The Bible says that whenever Herod went to hear John's sermon or had John called for it, that he responded. And he responded to the preaching by, quote, doing many things. What many things did he do? Well, I don't know. Maybe mitigated some wrongs that he'd done in his kingdom. Maybe he started some programs for the poor. Maybe he drank less or swore less or gambled less. We don't know. But whatever it was, the preaching of John the Baptist convicted his heart so that the Scripture says he did many things. But note this carefully. Because what the Scripture also makes crystal clear is that in spite of Herod's being glad about John's preaching, and in spite of doing whatever things he did in response to that preaching, he still did the most horrible thing in verse 27. He sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. Now, folks, how in the world can any man listen to anointed preaching, be glad at that preaching, be motivated to act based on that preaching, have great respect for the preacher himself, and still determine to put that same preacher to death? It's an amazing story. And it reminds us this morning of some of the most important truths in the kingdom of God. I hope you listen very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject, missing God by a mile. Missing God by a mile. Father, help us, please, to focus our hearts and our heads and our minds on the truth of your word. I pray, God, that you'll help every person in this room to recognize they're not here today by accident, that you indeed have a message for them and for me. Speak to us, please, in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. How is it possible that a man who was so close to God, so close to God's truth, so close to God's kingdom, how could that man end up with a heart that was so far from God's will? After all, we know who this man Herod Antipas was. He was, let us say, the mayor. He was the senator. He was, yea, the governor of Joseph and Mary and of their son, Jesus of Nazareth. He was the tetrarch. That means a ruler of a quarter. He was the tetrarch. He was the leader of the hometown of almost all of the 12 apostles. He was the one man. Think of this. He was the one man who not only had a personal audience with John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet and precursor to Christ, but also had an audience with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Herod Antipas was the one man in all of human history who had the single most opportunity and the most ability to hear and see and witness the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do realize that all of Jesus' first miracles and his sermons, all of them happened right under his nose. And yet, with all of that advantage, with all of that favor, Herod missed. He missed the will of God, and he missed the kingdom of God by a mile, as the expression goes. You see, Pastor, how in the world does something like that happen? Because I'm telling you this morning right now that there are people in this room at this moment who are missing God by a mile. You come to church, you hear the preaching, you listen to it, you might even be glad, and you might even do certain things. What's wrong with Herod? Number one, you'll notice he feared the wrong thing. Namely, he feared John and not God. Verse 20 says this, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy." Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this very, very carefully. Why was Herod, why was this man afraid of John? Herod has all of the power. John has none. Herod sits on a throne, but John lives in the wilderness. He owns nothing. That's not all. The Bible says, and we know this to be true, the scripture says that John, this man, John the Baptist, quote, did no miracle. He didn't heal anyone. John the Baptist didn't walk on water. He didn't feed the multitude. He didn't raise the dead. And yet all the while, the Lord Jesus Christ did all of that and more. Across the page, you'll notice the very last few verses of chapter 5. In fact, verse 39 says, "And when Jesus was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." She was dead. Now, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus raised to life the deceased daughter of a ruler of a synagogue in that text right there. This ruler of the synagogue was under the jurisdiction of Herod. So, guess what? It was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ who worked miracles as God until it was his name, that is the name of Jesus, that was spread abroad. So what does our text say? Chapter 6, verse 14. "And King Herod heard of him." Who? Jesus. "For his name." Whose name? Jesus' name was spread abroad. I'll say it was. "And what did Herod say? He said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead and therefore mighty works to show forth themselves." Now wait a minute. Really? In some respects, when I read this text, I want to say to Herod, what in the world are you talking about? Herod, what is the matter with you? Are you really more afraid of a man, even a man of God, than of the God that the man preaches about? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer that Herod would have to give is yes. The answer that many in this room would have to give is yes. It's always amazed me when I'm out somewhere and maybe I'm playing a round of golf and I get matched up with a guy and they take God's name in vain. They know I'm preaching. They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend." They're more afraid of what I think than the God whose name they just took in vain. And so here is Herod. He had the fear of man, but he did not have the fear of God. Do you know that ultimately that's why he took John's life? Because you see that oath that he took about, you know, the dance and so forth, that oath that he took before many men led to the greater fear of the one man. Truly, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of God, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is it no wonder that Herod Antipas, with all of his elite education, all of his advantage, his position, and his wealth, he had absolutely no discernment when it came to the truth. He was an eyewitness to more glory and light of God than perhaps any man in human history, and yet his heart was still so full of darkness because he feared man and not God. How did Herod, who was so close, still miss God by a mile? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're here this morning and you think that your education or your status or your wealth or your blessing or your degrees in any way, shape, or form causes you not to just simply fall on your knees and fear God, understand that you are darkened and blind as Herod was. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, number two. We said, number one, he feared the wrong thing, man, not God. Number two, you'll notice, he followed the wrong thing. Specifically, he followed John, but not Jesus. Look at verse 20 again. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now, wait a minute. Because I want you to think for just a moment about Herod, quote, observing John the Baptist, and then doing many things in response to what Herod said, to all that he heard, because this, ladies and gentlemen, that is the very essence of religion. It is not the essence of Christianity. Religion, you see, always focuses on man and then attempts to do many things, a lot of things that are esteemed by man. Look at verse 14 again. And King Herod heard of him, Jesus, for his name, Jesus' name, was spread abroad. And he said, John the Baptist, he must be risen from the dead. And therefore, many works do show forth themselves in him. Now, wait a minute. All those times, let me ask you something. How could he think, first of all, John the Baptist? Because all of those times when Herod heard John gladly, when he, quote, observed his message and listened to him preach, let me ask you a question. What was it that Herod heard from John? What do you think all his messages and his sermons were on? What exactly was it that John went around talking about anyway? I can tell you right now what it was. It was basically one thing. Jesus, behold, John said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. John's entire ministry, beloved, from the beginning to the end, was to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. That is, to point to Christ. He said even before his arrest, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And if there is anything that Herod would have heard from the mouth of John the Baptist, it would have been the truth about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But you know what? In response to that very preaching, the Bible says Herod did, quote, many things. He did many things except for the one thing that he was supposed to do. Repent and believe on Christ. In chapter 1, hold your place. I want you to look at this. Please don't miss this. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the beginning of the gospel, not of John the Baptist, but of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why? As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Who is the messenger? John the Baptist. Verse 3, the voice, not the man, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of what? Repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 14, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What was he saying? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, wait a minute, folks. Repent, Herod. And what? Believe in Jesus. That was John's message. Did Herod do that? Oh, he did many things. He did many things, the Bible says. But how about that thing? How about the main thing? In fact, when he hears about Jesus and Jesus' name and all the miracles, how about repenting and believing now? This was the message of John the Baptist. This was also the message of the Lord Jesus himself. It was also the message of John's former disciple, Peter, who, recall, was now John the Baptist, for now a disciple of the Lord Jesus. After the resurrection of Christ, he stood up at Pentecost, and the people responded to his sermon, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name, all of you, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, that might be the main thing in Peter's sermon, maybe at the beginning of the church, and maybe it was the message of John the Baptist, and maybe it was the message of the Lord Jesus himself. But what about the message of Paul? What did Paul say was the main thing in preaching to the Gentiles? Well, you don't have to guess. On Mars Hill in Athens, preaching to a host of Gentiles, the Apostle Paul stood up, and in Acts 17:30, he said, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And then in chapter 20, Paul said that he testified both to the Jews and the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can go all the way back into the New Testament at the very end. And when that very first church was losing its first love, the Lord Jesus said, even to those people, repent and do the first works. That's believing and trusting. You see, folks, it may be that Herod did many noble and good things. Whatever they were in the response of John's preaching, that, ladies and gentlemen, is religion. If you come to church, or you turn on the television, or you turn on the radio, and you hear the message, I'm talking about the true message of the gospel of Christ, and you respond to that by doing many things, giving an offering, being good to your neighbor, buying a Bible and reading it, doing many things, it doesn't matter. You are missing God by a mile. In Herod's case, the tragedy is he never did the main thing because he never repented and believed. The word repent, as you know, is the Greek word metanoia. It means to have a change. Literally means a change of mind, a change of heart. But Herod never did that. Even in the midst of John the Baptist preaching, even as he was doing many things, he never changed his attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ, as evidenced by what he thought after John was dead. Do you know it wouldn't be very long after this very scene that Herod would turn Jesus away from his own presence and send him to another authority because he was not interested in the Savior and in the salvation of his own soul? And I'm talking to folks this morning. You are glad, perhaps, to hear the Word of God. Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe you like to talk about the things of God and the last days and the kingdom of God, and so it goes. Maybe even the point of doing many things when you hear it. But the main thing, the single most important thing, the first and the greatest thing of all, you simply have not done, you simply will not do, you will not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Herod, you go on in your life hearing the things of God, knowing the people of God, maybe even doing many things for God, and yet all the while missing God by a mile. It brings us to the third thing in the text. He feared the wrong thing, man, not God. He followed the wrong thing, John, not Jesus. Number three, he focused on the wrong thing, specifically the wrong resurrection, that is the Baptist and not the Christ. Let me show you something again amazing to me. Verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, Jesus. His name, Jesus, was spread abroad. And Herod said what? John the Baptist must be risen from the dead. Look at verse 16. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." Do you know those exact same words as the angel said about Jesus? He is risen. Here's Herod running around saying, "He is risen." Great Easter sermon, Herod, except it's about the wrong person. You think about this. The Lord Jesus heals the sick. He feeds the multitude. He calms the storm. He walks on the water. The Lord Jesus raises to life a little girl from the grave. And Herod's focus is what? John the Baptist is risen from the dead. I will give Herod some credit for believing in life after death, I suppose. But guess what? He is still missing God and God's kingdom by miles. Say, why, Pastor? Wrong resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what happens every year at this time of year, including with folks in this room all over the world. Next Sunday, as you all know, is called Easter. And yes, a lot of people all over the world are going to be thinking about and talking about and even singing about the whole idea of resurrection. The focus is new life. The very notion of spring with its flowers and its buds and baby chicks and its new clothes and bright colors and little bunnies and eggs. You know, all of that is a picture of life out of death. Resurrection is the theme this time of year. And the season always comes with many variations on that theme. The problem is, almost all of the variations, just like Herod, focus on the wrong resurrection. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get wrong. If there is one thing you cannot get wrong in the kingdom of God, it is the truth and the meaning and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, the problem with Herod and with all people who remain lost, including undoubtedly many lost folks in this room, is that they don't see the resurrection as God being raised from the dead. They do not see the resurrection as God dying, being buried, and then raising himself, being raised from the dead. Just like Herod, people today make the resurrection about themselves. What did he say? He said, "This is John the Baptist that I beheaded." And when the theme of resurrection comes around every spring, it's man being encouraged because it's talking about a man being raised from the dead. And they say, "There's our hope." Preachers behind pulpits say, "This man being raised, that's our hope." Ladies and gentlemen, that is not our hope. Because in spite of Herod's observations, Jesus Christ is not merely a man with some superlatives thrown in. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just a prophet or a healer or a martyr or a teacher. He wasn't just John the Baptist. This is what Governor President Herod, and in fact what our own president today, believes about Christ. And may I say, by the way, that's why no discerning Christian gets excited and all impressed just because some celebrity or some world leader does many things in response to the Bible. "Oh, pastor, did you see so-and-so reads the Bible and they did this or they did that in our nation's capital in Jesus' name?" Really? Don't be surprised if tomorrow that same person takes off a Baptist's head. Because I'm telling you, if you do not repent and believe that Jesus is God, that God died for your sins, that God was buried, that God was resurrected, if you do not believe that, then nothing else matters. You're missing God entirely by a mile. Back in 1980, there was an interesting court case in Canada. It caught my attention because at the time we were living in Port Huron, just over the bridge from Sarnia, Canada. And so we would read these stories, and there was this man, his name was Morris Davy. He was arrested, and he was charged with setting a forest fire. While Davy was in jail waiting his trial, a police officer saw him and heard him drop to his knees in the cell and pray out loud, "Oh, please God, let me get away with this crime just this once." Now, obviously, the police officer's testimony about it became part of the evidence in the trial against Davy. His defense attorney argued that this testimony had to be thrown out because, he said, according to our laws, testimonies between people like that is privileged conversation. He said, quote, "Privileged prayer is a privileged conversation meant to be heard by God, not by the police." And so the judge had a decision. He deliberated. He finally came back, and here's what he said. He said, "The word person used in the statutes in Canada describes someone whose rights are granted and upon them obligations are placed. Thus, communication could only be considered privilege when it's between two people. There's no earthly authority who can grant rights to or impose duties upon God. The testimony stands." The judge stated that God is reality wholly other than man. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Herod was a judge who never grasped that. Jesus was not merely a man. He was not merely a teacher, a rabbi, a prophet, a healer. Jesus was God come in the flesh. And it is the death and the burial and the resurrection of God the Son that must be believed to have eternal life. You know, it's interesting that the Bible gives us in the Gospels an intriguing little footnote on the story of Herod and the true resurrection. Last year at Easter, I preached about Herod's household manager, his personal assistant, whose name was Cusa. Cusa, you see, was married to a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name was Joanna. For those of you who know the resurrection story, you know that in Luke chapter 24, it was Mary and Joanna who were the very first to witness the empty tomb. Herod's own personal assistant, his own household manager, had a light and a testimony reminding us once again of how much light and witness and truth that Herod Antipas enjoyed. And yet, guess what? He still was miles from God because he never repented and believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. I'm talking to folks in this room today. Much like Herod of old, you enjoy the preaching. You listen to it. Maybe you hear some sermon on the television set or the radio, and you read your daily bread, and you listen, and you'll seek out a well-known preacher maybe and listen to them, and you'll be glad to hear them. Or maybe your husband brings you, and you're glad to do it. Your wife brings you, your brother, and you're glad to do it from time to time. Maybe at Christmas and Easter, you're glad to hear that preaching, and maybe, just maybe, you even respond by doing many things. I would not pat myself on the back today. I would not think for one moment that that draws you closer at all to God. This man did the same thing and within hours put that preacher to death. I wouldn't do anything except the first thing, the main thing. Repent and believe. Trust not in yourself, not in your works, not in your church. Trust in the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who as God died for your sins, was raised for your justification. Father, I pray you will bless the invitation, and I pray, God, that you will please help us to focus as a church, as your people, as ambassadors of Christ, as an earthen vessel. Help us to focus on the true message that you've given to us, the same one that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and the apostles and all of those have preached faithfully, and will do so till Christ comes again. Help us to be faithful as a church. I pray, God, for those who have asked for prayer for salvation. You know their hearts. Convict them, Lord, to their need of Jesus Christ as Savior. We give you the praise for what's done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.